At Cool Air Products, we developed AC Smart Seal Quick Shot with professionals in mind. It's the only product on the market that's 3-in-1, with sealant, lubricant, and UV dye all in a single application. It's non-toxic, non-flammable, 100% safe to the touch, eco-friendly, and compatible with all refrigerants. It's a safe solution option, backed by years of R&D, Intertech tested, and has sealed millions of leaks. AC Smart Seal, the professional's choice.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the podcast. So, listen, flush products, they can be beneficial in certain situations. And what I mean by flush products is a product that is used when the system is open and doesn't have refrigerant in it, potentially after a burnout where we have acidic oil, potentially after a plug dryer situation where we've got lots of carbon in the system because someone has not nitrogen brazed, or maybe if you're replacing a refrigerant for another or an oil for another and we've got residual left in the line sets because we can't change them because they're buried in walls or floors or whatever, right? So we're going to talk about this on this particular episode. We're also going to talk about acid neutralization when it comes to a refrigeration system. So we have Sean Holloway from Rector Seal, and he's going to explain a few things. I'm going to go over a few things, and it's just a conversation to be had about a couple of things that we can do with a system in certain situations. So this is it, guys. This is the HVAC Know It All podcast. I'm your host, Gary McCready. This podcast is sponsored by Master. They carry a great lineup of heat pumps. I've had the opportunity to install both Fujitsu and MoveAir. So if you're in the market for installing new equipment that you haven't tried, MoveAir, Fujitsu, check them out. Check out master.ca. This podcast is sponsored by Cintas. With the warm weather coming, you might want to look at uniforms for your team. That is for the spring / summer, t-shirts and lighter sweaters, jackets, stuff like that. Because the mornings are cool and sometimes the afternoons are too, but the day is warm. So sometimes it's one of those layer things, right? So check out Cintas.com/HVAC Know It All to check out some uniform options for your team.
Welcome to the HVAC Know It All podcast. Recorded from a basement somewhere in Toronto, Canada. Your host and HVAC tech, Gary McCready, will take you on a deep dive into the industry, discussing all things HVAC. From storytelling to technical discussion. Enjoy the show.
All right, Sean. So I got a question this morning that I popped open my social media and in Facebook. There was a question about burnouts and the refrigerant and the procedure and how to recover it, how to potentially label it if you have to, and how to go about cleaning up a system. That is one of the things I'd like to tackle with you today, because there's a plethora of products out there that help clean a system out. They're used in certain situations. I've used them before. There might be some procedural stuff that we need to talk about and all that, but a burnout of a refrigeration system can leave lots of contamination, acid, and it's not like you can just get up and replace the unit every time something like that happens. I mean, sometimes this happens on larger equipment and you got to replace a compressor with the system intact. So let's get your thoughts on a burnout and potential ways to clean that system up a little bit before we get it back into operation.
At the start of it all, I think it's important to make sure even the folks who know how bad, you know, burnout can be, it's important to talk about what acid does to metal. So the windings of the compressor can get ruined really fast if there's acid building up in the system. So some of these burnouts are really bad burnouts, and just meaning that if moisture is in the system, acid will form, and then the motor windings of the compressor will degrade and eventually just stop working. So it'll be a catastrophic failure for the compressor. So that's just kind of a quick summary of why burnouts are so bad. So forgive me for, you know, dumbing it down like that, but it's important, I think, for everyone to know that acid is really, really bad for a system. So in the old days, it was extremely time consuming and expensive when you had a burnout. And the chemistry was discovered that you could neutralize the acid and therefore clean up the system without having to go through compressors and have to do a lot of equipment change out and an expensive replacement of, you know, brand new compressors were being put in systems where acid wasn't fully neutralized. And then the compressor manufacturers were getting these horrible, the horrible news that, you know, a brand new compressor was put in to replace a burned out compressor. And then the new one was burned out shortly thereafter. So the chemistry of acid neutralizers is really important. It was a breakthrough. It's about 30 years ago. And it's also important to know the differences between the types of products. So some acid neutralizers literally neutralize acid molecules at the stoichiometric level. So an acid and a base, without going into 11th grade chemistry, can be neutralized. Acid molecules can be neutralized into microscopic salts, which are harmless for a system, but we still want to get those out of there too after you neutralize the acid. So how do we do that? Well, you can buy acid neutralizers like in little 4-ounce bottles, and now they're even manufactured in direct inject. So you can just administer it into the low side of the system, let it circulate. And after the appropriate time, which is about a half an hour to be really safe, then you want to change the filter dryer. So some products literally neutralize acid molecules, and other acid neutralizer products will gather the acid molecules and trap them into the filter dryer. So the preferred method for technicians, it should be to neutralize the acid. That way, there's no chance of acid coming back into the system and the system heating up and the filter dryer leaching out acid molecules again. So we still want to change the filter dryers, but the proper procedure is to put actual acid neutralizer product into the system. And so that's kind of just a quick overview of why burnouts are bad and then, you know, what to do about it.
Okay, so I have a question about I have a question about the acid neutralization. Now, you're saying the chemical additive goes in and it basically creates salt. Can you explain that again for me? Because I have a question related to the way you explained it.
Well, there's two major categories of acid neutralizer products. One category coagulates the acid molecules and they get trapped in the filter dryer.
All right.
The other category literally neutralizes acid molecules into microscopic salts, which can stay in the system and remain harmless. It's better to clean it up and get those out of there and still change the filter dryer. But that's the safest way to make sure that acid molecules don't leach out from the filter dryer and come back out into the system. So those two categories are important to remember. One is not as good. It coagulates the acid molecules and gets them trapped into the dryer. The other neutralizes the acid molecules. The dryer should still be changed, but the acid molecules have been reduced, converted into microscopic salts. And a lot of testing's been done on both methods. But the microscopic salts should be removed from the system, but they can remain in the system indefinitely without having an adverse effect on the oil or the refrigerant.
Okay. Now, with my testing with acid neutralization on the condensate side of high-efficiency furnaces and boilers and all that stuff, I know that acid neutralization works, but my question to you is, if we take an acidic liquid like water and we start to neutralize it, we can sometimes turn it into an alkaline state, which I've seen with a meter when I measure the water coming out of my acid neutralization for my furnace. Now, how do we know that we're not going in the opposite direction with these neutralizers in a system? Can you explain that one for me? And we're like right at that 6 to 8 in that neutral zone, right? On the pH scale.
Like you alluded to, testing is important before, you know, after the burnout, before you administer the treatment of an acid neutralizer. And then after, proper dosage is not critical on the neutralizer product. And so what I mean by that is a lot of testing has been done to where you're not going to risk going too far on the alkaline side if you administer acid neutralizer, where you neutralize the acid molecules. But matter of fact, a lot of tests have been done when this first came out, like 30, 35 years ago. Train and a few of the other large equipment manufacturers tested systems with nothing but this neutralizer, because the vast majority, instead of refrigerant oil, I should say. And so there was a lot of concern when this, you know, application first was invented, that we would have that problem. And that has never been a problem amongst any of the chemical manufacturers. That's not to say that you should overdose, because of various reasons. It's expensive too, just to put too much product in, but that's really not a concern. If the proper dosage is, if it's put in properly, that just doesn't happen. We haven't seen that. And so with the acid neutralization, that's not our biggest problem. It's not even really a small problem, frankly, to answer your question, like it is with condensate. Okay,
perfect. Okay, so I'm going to ask you a question. Your product, Acid Away, is it how does it work? Because you described two different ways these products work. How does yours work? Is yours turning it into these microscopic salts, or is it coagulating? The two different ways you described.
Ours does neutralize the acid molecules. We never have made one that just coagulates or grabs the acid and traps it into the dryer. Our feeling was that was too risky, even though we do, in our instructions, we do require a change of the dryer. I mean, that's heavily suggested. That's the proper way to do it. But with the other category of products, you literally, everything is comes down to the changing of the dryer, letting the dryer get rid of the acid, sort of like a filter, well, like a, what it's for. Our concern with going that route, we never did manufacture a product like that, because we know that, not everyone changes the dryer, and, if between the time that you put a product, a chemical product like that in, and the time that you get to change the dryer, if it, the system heats up, those acid molecules can come back out and then contaminate the system again after you've done all that hard work of cleaning it up. So changing the dryer is critical, but we do very much so. We recommend using a neutralizer product that literally neutralizes the molecules from acid into neutral state.
So your product doesn't coagulate, but does it create the microscopic salts that you were talking about?
Supplyhouse.com, it's such a fabulous idea this day and age, because if you need something, you can pop onto their website, you can order it directly from their site to your job site or home or wherever to the shop, and you don't have to go drive and get it. Especially if it's not an emergency, if it's like ahead of time, we're looking into the future. So if you guys are looking to get some stuff online for the trades, tools, some parts, accessories, check out supplyhouse.com.
Or it doesn't do that either.
It does, but that's how
it does do that.
That's
part.
The remnant result of our product. So the microscopic salts, you know, can circulate throughout the system indefinitely without harming anything. We've been this is testing we've done 35 years ago, and it took 2 or 3 years before we brought it onto the market because of the nature of adding anything into a refrigeration circuit. Everyone is very conservative, very careful. So we had to be darn sure that this wasn't going to hurt anything. And there were some changes along mm-hmm. the way. So we developed the product during testing, and then we've sold, of course, you know, hundreds of millions of dosages of the product. So, this is a product where we've literally can't say this about probably any other products that we manufacture, but we've literally never had one failure where this has ruined a compressor or contaminated a system. And so that's what makes it one of our favorite products. It's one of our older products, but this thing is a foolproof method, and there are other ways of doing it, and they work too, but this has been the way that we've chosen.
I'm going to go through for the audience's sake, because we don't want to just talk about one specific way to do something, because there's customers out there that have large budgets. There's customers out there that have small budgets, but at the end of the day, they still want the same sort of, they want the same result at the end of the job. I mean, the customers with lack of money, it's hard to give them the same result sometimes, but I mean, this is the way that if you have a customer that money does not matter, this is the way in the past that I've would tackle something like this is we got a burnout. We're going to test the oil. Okay. It's acidic. So we got an acidic situation here. So we're going to remove all that refrigerant. We're going to replace the compressor. We're going to flush the system out. Then we're going to add a dryer on the suction side that is an acid dryer that neutralizes the acid. Then we're going to charge it with, or obviously pull a good vacuum. We're going to charge it with brand new refrigerant. And then we're going to run the system. So basically what we've done, we've taken out the acidic refrigerant and oil or as much as we can. That compressor we're removing is going to contain most of that acidic oil. Then we're going to flush it. Then we're going to put in a new filter dryer on the liquid side. We're going to add a suction dryer that neutralizes the acid. And then we're going to change the compressor, and we're going to pull a good vacuum, charge it with brand new refrigerant. Obviously throw a flush additive in there. I've used flush additives in the past, and the amount of carbon and stuff that came out of the lines, it was ridiculous. Like whoever is brazing these systems up, this one factory system that nobody had really touched in 10 years, had a clogged filter dryer. The filter dryer we cut open was so black with carbon. I'm like, we should probably flush this, because I've seen this happen where you change the dryer and it gets plugged again within a day or two. So we flushed it out, and the amount of black carbon that came out of this thing was ridiculous. So then we changed the filter dryer. It wasn't a burnout. It was just a plug dryer. So we just changed the liquid line dryer. And then it ran fine, afterwards. But, that's the way I've done it in the past, but then also coming back maybe like a few days later and retesting the oil to see if it's acidic. And then if it's acidic, changing the oil again. But then I experimented with that, where instead of coming back and changing the oil, I've added acid neutralization on some experimental jobs. And the results, I come back and test the oil again a couple weeks later, and it seems to be neutralized, and the units continue to run. Because we're in that sort of that window or in that universe where we're fighting against people that don't like additives. Yeah. I've tested and experimented with additives here and there, and I find in the right scenario they can have a place in this industry. So
absolutely. And I'm glad you went over that, because the service that you're providing in this kind of a forum is you're addressing all different types of what your, you know, what your listeners have to deal with. Sometimes they don't have time to do it right. All right. Or if it's a low leverage job, a situation where they're just trying to bail somebody out for a few days or a week until they can come back and do it right. There's all kinds of different facets to different applications. I mean, how our product evolved was a commercial equipment where we were out talking to people about different products, and they were telling us about this problem, and they were like, oh my God, this is so expensive and time consuming. Wouldn't it be wonderful if somebody could invent something like, you know, we have for Tums for the tummy, you know, an acid neutralizer for your stomach if you eat the wrong foods, or if you have a system that can't properly digest certain types of foods or drinks. And so that's where we started the research on it. So we've always been proponents of all of the above. I mean, if you can do it right in a proper way, then, you know, you should cater to your client's budget and time. Of course, what you described is the way we recommend too. So what we have, sort of like with our leak sealant, we don't recommend that you put that into a brand new system that's being started up. If somebody doesn't have a problem and the equipment's within warranty, these types of products were designed to bail people out of a jam, or in the case of how this was originally invented, there was some very expensive equipment that was being falsely condemned because it was a really bad burnout where the technician couldn't get new equipment to stay clean. It was being contaminated after he was putting new, you know, compressors in. And so, hey, we're fully on board with that. And so in its proper place, these types of products can really save time and save money. And even when you're using this type of product, we still want to do it the right way.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I brought up what I brought up, is because there's customers out there that money is no object. Their facilities make a lot of money, so they don't care that they need to be back up and running. But then you go onto the strip malls where a struggling business owner lost their cooling, and they need an economical way to get back up and running. So we need to keep in mind and stay educated on different types of products out there. Now, I do want to talk about a flush product. Okay, we talked about the acid neutralization and how it works and how it creates these salts, microscopic salts. I didn't know that, how it kind of grabs them and they float around the system, and that makes sense. Put in a filter dryer to grab all this stuff. But I'd like to talk about, once the compressor is out, you know it's a burnout. Maybe someone didn't nitrogen braze. Maybe you've got some metal components in the oil, and maybe you just want to clean that system up a little bit. So there's been flush products out in the market now for many, many years, and I've used them on occasions. As I was saying, the first time I used it, I couldn't believe the amount of carbon and stuff that came out of that system. It was unbelievable to me how much we got out of it. So when and where should we be sort of inserting a flush product into a job, into a quote, to ensure we're cleaning up the system? And then I'll ask you a few more questions afterwards. But when and where should we start to implement a flush product?
All of the applications that you described, but Gary, one of the biggest category of applications when the flush product is useful is just when you're converting from, you know, R22 to 410A. Or any POE.
Yep, that's a good one too.
So, yep. As you stated, these types of products have been around for a long time, but it wasn't really until 2009 when the advent of the requirement, at least in North America, the 410A started. New equipment had to be POE. And so a lot of the retrofit systems where an existing building or house already had an R22 system in. If the equipment was being changed out, but the line sets could be left in and remain, then it was extremely critical to clean the line sets, clean out the copper tubing, so as to not contaminate the new oil. And so
yeah,
that's really when this type of product became really big and when technicians started seeing it on the shelves in every store, and you see a lot of different competitive products for flush chemicals. And the process really should be the same for all of them. And there's, again, with this product, there's two major categories that I want your listeners to be aware of.
So Copeland has sent me over a link for A2L best practices when you're working on a system containing A2L. So what I'm going to do is leave a link in the podcast summary so you guys can go hit that link up and just read through it and see if there's anything that you need to think about, anything that you need to do or plan for, or anything that you might not have thought about when it comes to working with A2Ls. You might be doing all this already, but go check out the link and the best practices.
One is a pressurized product.
And just to clarify, your product is called TurboClean. Just to clarify before we move on, right?
Yeah, TurboClean. Ours, okay. We chose to go with a liquid product. And I'll tell you why. Instead of making a pressurized product, which is convenient, we wanted to make something that would not encourage half measures. That is to say, nitrogen purge is required anytime after you're done flushing. It's really important to get the solvent, the flush itself out. After the flush does its job and gets all the impurities out, pollutants and contaminants out of the line set, it's important to get the flush out too. And so I can't stress enough, it's very important to stress this issue. After you use a flush product, you really need to purge with nitrogen to get the flush out of the line sets. And that's with both products.
You know how some people are doing that now? There's a couple of products, a couple different manufacturers make these now. Basically it's these foam pigs that they're calling them pigs. I think the name came from the gas and oil industry. And they use nitrogen. They'll use a flush product, add it into the system, and then they'll use these pigs that basically go and scrape the outside or the inside of the pipe, and it basically comes through the other side, and everything that's in that pipe is now being pushed out by the pig after the flush product is introduced. Have you heard of guys doing this?
Yeah, and matter of fact, we're testing products similar to that to try to confirm that that's, we know it's a good method. It's actually started in the most basic of technologies and industries, and that's waterworks. So it's like plumbing, but underground. And so, you know how expensive and time consuming and hard it is to dig up pipe and replace pipe. Well, that, if you could get a fish through something that could be pulled out of the other end, then you could, you know, the pig method has been effective in that, in different types of industry. So like you alluded to also different applications, but we're in the middle of testing that sort of application because we know that anytime you can just exhaust any possibility of leaving pollutants or contaminants into a refrigeration circuit, it's a good thing if you can clean it out. So we think that that method works. We haven't confirmed with our own types of products yet, but we do know that's a very thorough way to go. So if you can, purging with nitrogen, you know, is the current standard of care, as they say in healthcare, standard of care. So if you can do that without damaging anything else, then that's even better. So my point really is to stress that the pressurized flush products that come in a pressurized canister, they're very easy and quick to get into a line set, but it's important to read their instructions because those products stress that you must come back and purge with nitrogen to get the flush itself out in case there was any remnant solvent left in there. So with the liquid method, and there's several other manufacturers, not just us, so with the liquid method, you're literally using your own nitrogen to push through as the propellant to push the liquid product flush through the system. And so after that's all gone, you've already got your nitrogen hooked up and you just keep on purging with nitrogen. So The other important feature to kind of pay attention to, for your listeners to pay attention to, is to be aware of the boiling temperature of the flush product. So if the flush solvent boils off too quickly, then you're really not getting the effectiveness if it's no longer, you know, working. So if it boils off before it gets through the end of the line set, then it's really not cleaning the end, that part of the copper tubing. So a higher boiling point is better in that situation. There's several, you know, smaller things to consider, but the biggest thing is to purge with nitrogen. Even though you've got a convenient pressurized canister, if you're using that sort, you've got to hook up your nitrogen and purge, or you pig it out, like you're saying.
Okay. Before I ask you my next question, we talked about two products here, Acid Away and Turbo Clean. A2L, a lot of people are asking questions about A2Ls and A2L safety. These are A2L approved or A2L safe?
Compliant. Yeah.
Compliant. Okay.
What everyone should be looking for probably for the next 2 or 3 years. And I say 2 or 3 years, cause I think 3 years from now, if a manufacturer has not confirmed that their product is safe for use with A2Ls, they're probably going to have to pull their product off the market or, stop selling it. We have been taking a much more conservative approach. Our stance has been 2 years ago, we started testing our chemical products and anything that touches the refrigeration circuit. So not just our chemical products, but our locking refrigerant caps, you know, because the elastomers are on the service valves, and anything that comes in contact with the oil or the refrigerant. And so what you want to look for is many of the manufacturers have already started doing this, some of whom have already confirmed that their products are A2L compliant. Some manufacturers have some products that are compliant and some products that are not yet confirmed, or they're not sure. And so as you can imagine, a lot of companies don't come out and say, hey, this product's not yet compliant with A2L. They don't do that. If it's not compliant with A2L, they're just not saying anything. They're just continuing with regular business and regular marketing pieces and product data sheets and safety data sheets. So conversely, if you're in charge of your business and your clients, you want to make sure that you're looking for products that already state that they're A2L compliant, especially as you start working with this refrigerant. Certainly, if you're installing equipment that uses that, you know, uses an A2L refrigerant, you want to confirm. There's enough products out there now that the manufacturers have done the testing, and we did this for 2 years, and it's been very extensive. And fortunately, we haven't had to change, you know, formulas and that sort of thing. But we take this very seriously, and we spent a lot of time and effort to make sure that our chemical products were compliant. So the ones that we just mentioned are compliant. Actually, all of our HVAC and refrigeration chemicals are A2L compliant. And so we've started putting that little symbol that a lot of your listeners are going to be familiar with. You know, it's got a green leaf, and then there's a universally accepted A2L logo. So if you see that on the product, whether it's ours or anyone else's, you'll know you're safe.
Perfect. That's good to know. Okay. So the question, we're going back to flushing out a system. And you brought up a good point of conversions. There's probably not that many conversions going on now these days from R22 to 410A. I mean, there are still R22 units out there. 100% there are, but most of those are now getting replaced rather than converted. But anytime you got a burnout carbon, someone did a nitrogen braze, it's also a good way to clean up a system as well before you install new dryers. I just had a friend, actually, he said they pulled a dryer out of a system, cut it open, he sent me pictures, it was black solid inside, replaced the dryer again, and within an hour he said it was plugged up. So something happened in that system, I don't know what, But I said, why didn't you just flush it out when you seen the dryer was that bad? Why didn't you flush it out with some sort of flush agent? Anyway.
What did he say when you asked him?
What I wanted to ask you, I don't remember. He's probably like, I should have. He probably said I should have, or now I'm going to, or something. Who knows? I can't remember. This is going back a little bit. But anyway, what I wanted to ask you is, there's everyone always says, if you use a flush product, pull a good vacuum. We want to pull a good vacuum anyway.
Right.
But is it true with flush products that pulling a good vacuum is really important because of the flush agent potentially being inside and getting rid of it? Because as you said, it boils off. So when we pull a vacuum, we're boiling off moisture and stuff, and we're removing it from the system. Is it the same with a flush product, or are we boiling it off in a vacuum and ensuring we remove all of it?
Absolutely. The flush itself will be bad for the system if it's left in. Okay. So, pulling a deep vacuum is critical anytime, you know, obviously, like you said, but what specifically can happen is if, especially with those pressurized canisters of flush, if there's any flush solvent left in the copper, then, and if someone does not pull a deep vacuum, then you've introduced a potential problem, or almost certainly it's going to be a problem later on. And so the nitrogen will solve a lot of that. Okay. A good nitrogen purge will get rid of all that solvent. And then we still, of course, recommend pulling a deep vacuum for several different reasons.
Well, nitrogen is good in general. To anybody that has been purging with nitrogen while they braise or before they even start to pull a vacuum, let's say it's a system that doesn't require brazing. It's just a flare connection on either side. Before you go pull a vacuum, purge all the air and moisture out with nitrogen and pull a vacuum afterwards. And you'll see that there's a difference there on how quickly you pull down, because you purged a lot of that moisture and air out of the system already. So it's the same with any flush product. Just purge it out. Make sure that the system is fully purged with nitrogen from one side to the other. Like, basically, I've seen guys when they purge nitrogen, what they'll do is they'll put it in one end, or only one end, and then open that same one end back up, and then let it out the end they put it in. And I'm like, well, no, don't do it like that. Try to flow it through in one end and out the other, so we know we're actually sweeping the entire system. So that's how I do it, in one end, out the other. So I know I'm sweeping the entire system. So nitrogen, purge, very important. Evacuation, very important when we're using a flush product, but they're important anyway. So, I mean, we were going to try to get to when and where to use a leak sealant. We'll probably have to revisit that one because we're running out of time on this one. But anything else you want to throw in on acid neutralization or a flush product before we head out today, Sean?
I would add to your last point. You're like me. It sounds like you've learned the hard way. I mean, anybody who twists wrenches or does any of this type of work that we do for your vocation, your career, your livelihood, you know, when you take shortcuts with this stuff, it almost always is more expensive for you or your client. And if you seem to get away with it and it's your client who has the problem, you know, it ends up being a bad reflection on you and your business. So I would say, don't take shortcuts. I mean, just kind of the stuff that we talked about, look at the manufacturer's products, take the extra few minutes to look at the boiling point, the procedures. Don't take shortcuts on trying to get away with not changing the filter dryer after a burnout, certainly, or if you can do a comprehensive cleanup, that's the way to go. With flushing, I mean, do, like you said, go both ends, make sure you get all the solvent out. My summary is, don't take shortcuts and follow the specific instructions of how to use the product that you buy.
Yeah. And also, I mean, to be honest, anytime you're dealing with any sort of chemical, you should really be reading the safety data sheet, making sure you're following the right procedures for safety as well. So, I mean, that's a whole other rabbit hole we could go down on how to protect yourself. But I mean, gloves and
yeah,
and
we want you to stay in the fight. We want you to be able to fight another day, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, appropriate PPE as well is very important when you're dealing with any chemical product. But Sean, thank you very much. I mean, I learned some stuff today about acid neutralization that I didn't know. So thank you for clearing that up. And we'll get to, maybe next time we'll do an in-depth dive on when and where to use a leak sealant. I mean, I've got a very strong opinion on that. People fight me on it. I've been called a hack when I've used it before. But guess what? The customer is up and running. They're doing their thing and a quote's in the process. And it just allows a little bit of time and a window and stuff like that. But that is another rabbit hole we'll have to get into.
Yeah. We were like the people who criticized you for many years, and we changed after looking into it, and I can tell you all about our history with it.
Hope you enjoyed the show. Follow HVAC Know-It-All on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, Twitter, LinkedIn, and anywhere else Gary feels like popping up. This has been a Two Smokes and a Coffee production.